Hey Trojans, and welcome back to General Education. I'm your host, Kevin Gramling. We made it to summer, but we still have stories to recap. On this episode, we'll be recapping a piece about the USC Athletic Director's resignation, as well as USC Student Health's summer services. After that, we'll be chatting with staff writer Claire Chu about her recent article covering a research project on regenerative agriculture that's led by USC students. Hey, we get it. It's summer break. That's why we've got you covered with all of this week's latest highlights. Our first story, from staff writer Thomas Johnson and sports editor Stefano Fenderich, is about the resignation of USC's Director of Athletics, Mike Bone. On Friday afternoon, President Carol Folt announced that Bone, who had been athletic director since 2019, resigned, citing the recent move to the Big Ten as a reason for reevaluating the athletic department's operations, culture, and strategy. The Los Angeles Times also reported that during this evaluation, there were reports of Bone making inappropriate comments that made staff members uncomfortable. Whether this played a role in his resignation is unclear. In the time he's been here, Bone has made an undeniable impact. Key decisions, including the hiring of several coaches and USC's entrance into the Big Ten Conference, are part of his legacy, as well as 5 national championships across 3 sports. While we wait for the next director to be appointed, Folt has already announced that Executive Senior Associate Athletic Director Denise Kwok will serve as the interim director. She also appointed an interim leadership team made up of 3 former athletic directors, Sandy Barbour, Mitch Moser, and Kevin Weyberg. There will be a national search for the next director beginning shortly. Our next story, by staff writer Claire Chu, is about USC Student Health's summer services. Albeit with shorter hours and telehealth only available on weekends, Student Health is operating as it would during the school year. In a briefing with the Daily Trojan Monday, Chief Student Health Officer Sarah Van Orman encouraged students to come in during this time as it's an opportunity to complete appointments they may have been putting off during the school year. Moreover, Student Health is ending many pandemic protocols, with all of the tents around campus taken down and walk-up PCR tests no longer being offered. That being said, they'll continue to keep track of coronavirus cases and offer at-home antigen tests. Amidst the opioid epidemic, Van Orman also wanted to emphasize the health center's fentanyl testing strips service. The center offers strips that can be used to check for the presence of fentanyl and hopefully avoid risking an overdose. Though an overdose has yet to happen at USC in 2023, Van Orman thinks access to information and resources is key to preventing them. Today, we'll be chatting with assistant news editor Claire Chu. Chu wrote about 2 USC students' research project on regenerative agriculture. Regenerative agriculture is a way of raising cattle and growing crops, which aims to conserve and rehabilitate the land we use for agriculture. This, in turn, results in healthier produce that offer more nutritional benefits. This project, which is headed by students Joshua Jacobs and TJ Mercer, aims to prove that regenerative agriculture strategies lead to more nutritional benefits than traditionally produced food. One such strategy is rotating cattle so they don't overgraze a plot of grass, which allows the grass to grow in a healthier way. This rotational system mimics cow migration patterns in nature. This ties into a core philosophy of regenerative agriculture. Nature knows best. The 2 students are collaborating with a cattle farm for this research project. The farm is putting regenerative agriculture strategies into practice by implementing this rotational approach to cattle farming. And they have recently been given USDA approval to begin selling cuts of meat. Chu interviewed juniors Mercer and Jacob, and she's here to tell us about the experience and her story. Jacobs and Mercer are both very well versed on this topic, but how much did you know about it coming in?
Hi, Kevin. I actually knew nothing, like zero. I'm an English major, so maybe that's why, but I remember before I had to interview them, I was Googling their work and, you know, reading up on regenerative agriculture because I was hoping that I wouldn't sound stupid when I asked them questions. So I was pretty mind-blowing for me just to learn about not only what they're doing, but also the potential reach of their research.
So how did you prepare for the interview with them?
So I think Thomas, TJ, had a couple like research papers online that I found by searching his name. And then I just kind of Googled, regenerative agriculture. There's actually, it's pretty small, but it is like a movement. So there was actually a lot, not a lot, but there was actually reading material where they actually explain how some small farms are, using this way of raising cattle to not only provide beef that's healthier for consumers, but also doing it in a way that it's actually beneficial for grass and the surrounding ecosystem. So, especially because cattle is such a, it's an animal that has such, environmental impacts, like, with methane and carbon. So, it was just really cool to read about how we can actually take, instead of just saying, let's not eat beef, we can actually take the process of raising beef and make it beneficial for the environment.
So you interviewed Josephine William, a rancher on the farm that Jacobs and Mercer partnered with. How did you decide on her?
Well, actually, TJ and Josh said, oh, you should talk to Josephine because I think TJ especially works with her. In the summers, he's actually probably there right now. And she and her farming partner, they run this ranch, pretty close by. It's called Rising Cattle, and that's what they do. They do regenerative agriculture with cattle farming. And she was just so insightful because she's been doing it all day. And actually, the thing is, she didn't always do that. I think she worked, she comes from a farming family, but she wasn't in farming until, recently when she just decided, I want to do something good for the environment. And so they started this ranch, and yeah, and they're just raising cows, and they're working towards, they just got USDA certified, which means that now they can actually start selling beef directly, which they do, you can in person, but also they have a website so you can buy actually online directly from them, which is pretty cool.
So, if you were to expand on the article and interview more sources, are there any perspectives you think are missing or that you think would be valuable to interview?
Yeah, I mean, having, a perspective from someone who maybe comes from a big farming family, especially maybe someone who has experience working with, or in large farming corporations. Because a lot of the times, when we talk about agriculture and, the buzzword is always about, eating small, eating local, supporting small local farms, which obviously is very important because it's hard for them to compete against, big food distributors. But I think personally, it would be interesting to get a perspective from a big, food distributor because they're usually painted as like the evil, big evil, corporation. Which, but there must be a reason for why they do some of the things in the way that they do. And so I think that would be actually an interesting perspective on this whole regenerative agriculture movement.
So was writing this article different from others you've written in any way?
It was not super different just because the process of writing, it was a profile, which is similar to, articles that I've done before profiling different people and their different activities. I would say the only difference was because I was so unfamiliar with the subject matter, I really wanted to make sure that I was getting all the facts, accurately represented and that I actually knew the meaning of all these big words I was using, like, regenerative agriculture. So in that sense, it did require a little more research. But other than that, I would say the process overall was pretty much the same.
Awesome. Thank you. So what parts of their mission did you think were most important to emphasize in your article? And what did you want people to take away?
Yeah, I thought TJ and Josh had a really unique blend of idealism, but also practicality, because, for a lot of normal people, and they actually touched on this in the interview, for a lot of normal people like you and me, we're busy, we're going through, our day-to-day lives, we're making podcasts, we're writing news articles. I mean, thinking about the environment is not, top of mind for us. And a lot of the times when we hear like, oh, like we need to do things to, we need to change the way we behave, in order to save the planet, it usually involves like, oh my God, like we should go vegan, or we should, I don't even know, like recycle everything, like, watch our, just our intake, which we should do, but it's also very difficult because it's very time consuming. And so, normally for people who are working or they have bigger con starting families, they have bigger concerns. So for them, it's really hard. And I think that's a lot of the times where the disconnect happens. But I think what was really unique was that TJ and Josh, they recognized that. And so they actually, there was this part of in the interview where they said, like, look, you don't have to be like us. Like, you don't have to go work on a ranch and, raise cows. Like, that's just not realistic. But, you could start normal, like normal people like you and me, we could start, by just when we go grocery shopping, like kind of noting the labels, like, oh, what does this certification mean? Or, is, where does this beef or where does this meat or where does this whatever produce come from? And, going to farmers markets, stuff like just little habits like that. Just, so that everyday people can just make a small impact. And that was something that I thought was really powerful that I took away from that interview.
Do you think at all would it be beneficial or interesting to revisit their project in the future?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Right now it's cattle farming, but in the future it might be something else. And especially the ranch they work with, Rising Cattle, they are not super old. So they haven't been around for super long. So, they just got their grant, like I was saying. So they're just starting to sell, meat directly to consumers. So it would be really interesting to see, if they expand in the future and how they might expand. And then also just on the research front, like I think TJ mentioned, he's doing some research into carbon credits at Yale this summer. So it would be really interesting to, kind of catch up with them, maybe in a year or two, and just see what new research they're doing, and what progress, they've made in their research and also in cattle farming.
Awesome. Well, those are all the questions we had today. Again, this is Claire Tu, one of our staff writers. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
When asked about why this project was so important to him, Jacob said this.
I learned about this and I was like, wow, this is a great, super interesting solution that could make me feel good about myself and like make me feel like I'm working towards something that's gonna improve our future and also have a whole host of other benefits and make me happy. So I think that's a big thing is like finding ways to like follow your like goals and dreams while still being happy and like not sacrificing. And like I think there is something like that out there for everyone. And this is definitely one of those for me.
This episode was hosted by Kevin Gramling, written by Kevin Gramling, Jonathan Park, and Grace Ingram, edited by Thomas Johnson, produced by Grace Ingram and Christina Shkarbo. General Education is one of three shows on the Daily Trojan Podcast Network. You can find more episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts, as well as our website, dailytrojan.com. Also, in case you didn't know, we publish weekly over the summer with reduced circulation. You can find our print edition online as well. Visit the episode description for our links and more information. We hope you're enjoying your summer, Trojans. We'll be back next week.